This week, the dream of Doug and Linda Mills is being realized. The Carle Foundation Hospital campus is expanding with a new $50 million building housing both the Mills Breast Cancer Institute and Carle Cancer Center. AM 580's Jeff Bossert went on a tour of the facility that will soon be seeing patients and talked with some of those responsible for starting it.
At first glance, the central atrium of Carle Foundation Hospital's newest building looks more like the lobby of a hotel than a medical center. Carle administrators say the atrium is designed to welcome patients and visitors. Carle Cancer Center Director Melissa Phillips says this atmosphere was the vision of Linda Mills.
You fill it with caring people, and we have a staff of over 100 people that are all very caring, empathetic, compassionate people. But give the decor a warm, comfortable feel to it. Put the little touches in there. Give me flowers. Give me warm wood tones. Give me some music. Something behind this so that I don't feel like I'm coming into a clinical environment. And so those are suggestions that we really took and embraced.
Mills died of breast cancer in 2006, just after construction of the facility got underway. She and husband Doug Mills, the chairman of First Busey Corporation, the holding company of Busey Bank, gave $10 million to get the ball rolling on the project. Phillips says Carle will back up the new building's inviting interior with the best possible care for cancer patients. She says the facility will offer diagnostic testing, screening, and imaging, access to oncologists and surgeons, and a pharmacy, all just a tunnel's walk from Carle's main hospital across the street. The Mills Institute is intended to serve not only breast cancer, but prostate and head and neck cancer patients. This building also allowed the Carle Cancer Center, which has operated since the early 80s in Carle Clinic, to move into a much larger space. And Carle did its research when setting up the new facility.
That horrible, what I call clinical feeling that you typically see in healthcare facilities was one of the things that we really wanted to get away from.
That's Dr. Ronald Sampiente, the head of radiation oncology for Carle Clinic. He was one of a team of experts who visited several cancer centers across the U.S. getting ideas for Carle's new cancer facility. He says they wanted to avoid cramped conditions where patients usually saw their doctor.
You have a relative in a room with you, they have cancer, and all of a sudden all the kids and everything are all crowded into this tiny exam room. There's an exam table. Maybe, you know, the relative has a gown on. It's not a good environment to talk about, you know, life issues. And so the consult rooms are really comfortable to go into.
The new Mills Institute and Cancer Center not only includes the newest in radiation treatment, but also a meditation room, boutique, and healing garden. But the new Carle Cancer Facility is not just designed as a welcoming place for cancer treatment. While both facilities will be treating patients, the Mills Institute is also aimed at research, and a University of Illinois faculty member will be its director. Stephen Bopart, who remains in his U of I capacity as a professor of electrical engineering, was brought aboard in late 2006 to head the facility. Much of his work will take place on the third floor of the Breast Cancer Institute, set to open this fall. Clinical research, that is, the testing of various cancer drugs and therapies, has a long history at Carle through hundreds of clinical trials. Bopart says this research done at the Mills Institute will draw on resources at the U of I to do translational research.
And what Carle has recognized is that we've got wonderful discoveries in science and technology, many of them, of course, happening at the University of Illinois. And we really need to have a means to encourage those discoveries to be more directly translated into clinical practice. And so that's exactly what this effort in translational research is intended to do. And to do that, we really have to just, I believe, get those scientists and engineers and technologists to interact with physicians in a clinical setting.
Bopart says Carle has maintained connections with about 30 U of I faculty members the last couple of years. He says they'll interact more with physicians in the future, passing along their discoveries on treatments at the new facility. Construction of the Mills Breast Cancer Institute and Carle Cancer Center took just over 2 years to complete. Carle held an open house yesterday to celebrate the facility's opening. It's expected to begin accepting patients in June. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
An excerpt from Carnival of the Animals leads us into this portion of the afternoon magazine. We're going to talk about the Indianapolis Zoo. I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest in this portion of the program is Judith Gagan. She's the zoo's director of communications. Hi, Judith. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Although it's raining here now,
yeah.
All of a sudden.
Well, it won't last forever.
We hope not.
Okay. Now, you've got a couple of very special visitors coming from the San Diego Zoo. Perhaps they're already there.
They are. They arrived last week via Southwest Airlines right there in the passenger cabin.
Wow. And how did you prepare for them?
Well, our little koala friends are getting a whole new exhibit, and it's been under construction for a while now, and it's ready, and they got in there, and they're happy as clams, I hear. I haven't seen them yet, but I understand they're doing well.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some little preview events this week, and then the exhibit opens on Saturday.
Yeah.
They'll be here all summer.
Okay, so they'll be with you all summer. So when will they head back to San Diego?
Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And I understand that you've had a little plush fellow by the name of Phil helping education efforts regarding conservation of koalas. Tell
we
us about
do.
Phil.
The Adventures of Phil. Well, I don't know how this got started. I really don't. But somebody had a really cute plush version of a koala, and we just decided to drag Phil around the world. You know, our staff goes here and there and everywhere on zoo trips and research trips, that kind of thing, or just on vacation. And so Phil has been taking adventures around the world, and he's a good excuse to do some fun things with koalas on our website.
Yeah.
So if you go to the website, you'll see big pictures of the koala right on our homepage. Click on that, and then at the bottom of the koala page, there's a link to the Adventures of Phil. You can see Phil at various places. He recently returned from South Africa. And it also gives links to lots of fun games and activities for the kids.
Yeah, what a great little ambassador.
We thought so, and he's very cute.
Yeah.
Just like his real-life namesake.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready for all the human visitors you'll see this summer?
Well, we hope so. Summer, obviously, is sort of our main time of the year. Our busiest season is from Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day weekend, and that's when we have the most shows and chats and demonstrations and everything is kind of up and going because it's warmer. Although I personally like a spring and a fall visit to the zoo. I think that's lovely as well.
So you're open all year round?
We are. We're actually open during the winter, and it's not as crowded in the winter, but it's a unique experience. I actually encourage folks to come over sometime when it's snowy and a little cool and just enjoy something, the zoo, when it's very, very quiet. And we have some animals that actually love that time of the year and are very active, like our polar bears and our Siberian tigers. So it's quite interesting, actually, year-round. Come on over.
Yeah. Now, this summer, in addition to the koalas, you're going to have some lion awareness events, elephant awareness events. Tell us about those.
Well, we've got lots of events. As I say, it's our busy season. We have Elephant Awareness Week every year, and that's just to call attention to our African elephants and learn more about them and get all involved with them. We're very fond of our elephants, and we think that they serve as ambassadors for their species over in Africa, and we want people to know more about them and care about them and help us conserve them. So we do daily baths and shows and demonstrations, and we talk about our elephants and how wonderful they are. And this year, for the first time, we're highlighting African lions. Their exhibit is nearby the elephants, and we have a sponsor for that called Harris Bank. And they've had a mascot for years that's a lion, oddly
sure.
enough. So they said, sure, we'll sponsor the lion exhibit. Great. We'll just create a whole lion awareness day, and we'll talk about African lions and how cool, wonderful they are. They're also another one of our endangered animals that yeah. we're hopefully helping to preserve.
Yeah. Now, there's another thing that I think is very fascinating that you do over there at the Indianapolis Zoo. You have an adventure involving dolphins.
We do. We actually have two interesting things going on this summer. Our dolphin in-water adventure has been going on now for a couple years, and it's not a swim-with program, but you get in the water with dolphins, and you learn an awful lot about them. You get to touch them. You get to learn some hand signals from the trainers and interact with them, and you get a kiss at the end, you know, the dolphins being cooperative, as they usually are. And you get a classroom experience as well, because we like to talk about conservation of animals, so we force you to take the class before you get in the water with the dolphins. But it's a unique experience. It truly is. It's the only one in the Midwest that we're aware of. And this summer we're trying a new one called Adventure Tours. And that's a pilot program. We're going to see how it works this summer. And if you go to the website, IndianapolisZoo.com, there's a little box on the homepage that says Adventure Tours. Click there. And it's an opportunity for visitors to go behind the scenes at the zoo and see what it's like away from the public and what's going on behind closed doors.
Uh-huh.
So that's new, and we'll see how that works, how the public reacts to it.
Yeah,
I think it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I do too, because, you know, you've got meals to prepare, and you've got, areas that have to be groomed. I don't know what else.
Well, there's, vets have their little exams,
sure.
And there's feeding and checking things out. And, for example, in our lion holding area, we've actually trained the lions to come close to the bars on their cages, their sleeping quarters inside, so that we're able to give them shots if we need to and examine them. And that's pretty rare to have an animal that's like a big cat be that cooperative. But, it saves us from having to dart them if we have to do something.
Yeah.
So it's neat stuff like that you learn when you go behind the scenes.
Now, at the zoo, in the daytime, how are the animals, what's their life like during the daytime? Are they out and about?
They are. We're essentially a cageless zoo. Our exhibits tend to be quite open with wide vistas. Our elephants, for example, have their own pool and a waterfall and a big grassy hill and a knoll. And we have zebra and antelope and that sort of thing on a wide open plain where they just kind of roam at will. So we do try to keep things as open as possible. The Indianapolis Zoo is one of the relatively new zoos in the country. This one was built in 1988. So we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. And that was about the time back in the late 80s, early 90s, when zoos were starting to get into understanding that the habitat in human care was something that needed to be as close to natural as it can be. So a lot of zoos now are into that open concept, but we were among the first to get there. And it's not perfect, but we work on it really, really hard, and we work on getting people close to the animals. Our rhino exhibit, for example, has a bridge that goes right into the middle of the rhino exhibit, so you can literally be feet from these things, and you can hand-feed a giraffe or hand-feed a lorikeet or pet a shark in our oceans exhibit, which opened last year. So we try to, the more people get into the animals, the more they're going to eventually learn to care about them, and that's what we're trying to do, is inspire them to become future conservationists, we hope.
Yeah. Now, can one obtain tickets? Is it advisable to obtain tickets for general admittance or special events in advance of an outing to the zoo?
It probably is a good idea, because our dolphin shows are one of our most popular attractions. They're included with general admission, but in the height of the summer season, you can reserve a spot at a dolphin show in advance if you order your tickets online. So I recommend going to IndianapolisZoo.com and visitor info, admission prices, and there's a link right there to order your tickets online. And when you do that, you get your dolphin show tickets, and then you're guaranteed that you'll get a spot at the show.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss a dolphin show as long as you're here. They're very, very popular, and that's included. Most things are included. The things that aren't included, food, obviously, and ride charges, I take that back. All the rides cost something.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of things, all the shows and demonstrations and chats are included with regular admission.
Okay, and tell us really quickly about the gardens that are adjacent.
Well, the gardens are part of the zoo.
Yeah.
They're right next door, share the same big parking lot. White River Gardens opened in 1999, and it has matured unbelievably in the last 9 years. And it is just gorgeous. There are 3.3 acres in total, but man, is it jam-packed. If you are a plant fan, you have got to check this out. And it's a design and inspiration garden, so we have knot gardens and herb gardens and sunken gardens and raised gardens and all kinds of things that can kind of inspire you to do these kinds of things in your own home garden. And it has a very large conservatory, and our very popular butterflies show is in there. That opens in mid-March and runs through Labor Day.